We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Come on, let's pray. Father, you need your chair back before I pray. Father, as we come around your word today, and Lord, I'm speaking on prayer. And Lord, I'm asking you to help me deliver this message the way you want it delivered. I'm looking forward to preaching it. And I believe, Lord, we're not just going to hear a sermon, but it's literally going to change our lives in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I went to give you your chair back and you've already got it. Did the Holy Spirit put that chair? While I was praying, the Holy Spirit came. You just witnessed a modern day miracle in Wave Church. You can be seated, everybody. Let all the kids, if they haven't gone, they're gone. Praise the Lord. Next year at Wave Church, we're going to be calling Wave Church to three different occasions where we're going to ask the whole church to join us in some prayer and some fasting. And we don't just want to actually get people to just pray and fast. We want to teach people what that looks like so that when we do it, we understand what's taking place as we do it. Is that good? So you'll hear more about that coming up into the future. But today I want to talk to you about prayer. Next Sunday I want to talk to you about fasting. And there is a scripture I have built my prayer life on. And it's Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. I remember just as a brand new Christian, a great man of God who had a huge influence in my early Christian life was a man called Frank Houston. And Frank, I'll never forget, sat down with just a bunch of young guys and he opened up this Bible verse. Do you remember, Mark? I think you were there. And he said, sow to yourself in righteousness. Look what the Bible says. Look at this. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Your Bible might say mercy. It says, break up your unplowed ground. Your Bible might say fallow ground. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Who can say it's time to seek the Lord? All right. Now, until he comes, however, and rains righteousness on you. I want to maybe try and break up some unplowed ground today. I want to talk about prayer, and I want to talk to you about, is that ground plowed? Are you working your prayer life? Is your prayer life working? Because unplowed ground speaks about what was once fertile soil that has been left in some ways dormant that needs to be torn up again so it can produce a future harvest. I want to talk to you about your prayer life. I want to speak this morning about that. And I just have a couple of thoughts I want to give you as a way of introduction to this thought. And that is number one, listen to this, an active prayer life builds spiritual authority. If you want to have spiritual authority, not just authority, you can have authority like you can be maybe a policeman, you got authority. You can be maybe in the military, you're a ranking officer, you got authority. You might be, you know, a dad in your home. Hopefully you've got authority. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You understand? You might be a school teacher, you got authority. You might be the CEO of a company, you've got authority. You understand? But spiritual authority is a whole nother subject. And so look what the Bible says here in Acts 16. It says, once while we were going to a place of prayer, so they were going to pray, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. By the way, these people still exist today. And she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She earned a great deal of money. In other words, she was good. She was on the money. Just because something works doesn't mean it's God. This is supernatural, but it's not God supernatural. This is devil supernatural. We are so ignorant of the devil's devices today. We are so, the enemy can make himself look like an agent of righteousness, as an agent of light. And he packages it so well that we actually have no discernment as to what the enemy's up to. Are you hearing me? We have psychiatric hospitals for people who actually have, not everybody in a psychiatric problem has a demonic problem, but I want to tell you, we don't know what to do with demonic people who've got demonic problems and actually end up in psychiatric hospitals. We try and give them medication, but it's not medication they need. It's a breakthrough and deliverance. Are you hearing me? Ritalin's not going to help. Ritalin is good if you need it, and that is what's going on. And I'm just saying, we need to open our eyes to what's really happening sometimes. If we're going to have spiritual authority, we better know who our enemy is. We better know how he presents himself. Amen. And spiritual authority, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We spend too much time wrestling with flesh and blood and not enough time dealing with the real spiritual thing that's going on. So look what the Bible says here. Now watch this. It goes, she had followed Paul and the rest of us and was shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed. He turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. You see that story? That's spiritual authority. And I have a few thoughts about it. Here's the first thought. He didn't deal with the demonic problem straight away. It says she did it for many days. You with me here? He waited for her to be around the word of the Lord long enough that she had some deposit of God in her so that when he did cast the demon out, it wouldn't be end up seven more coming back with seven times more wicked than the first. He made sure there was enough of a deposit of being around. And also, I believe what happened there was this demonic influence on this young girl's life was seeking co-equality. She was realizing by the Apostle Paul, she was losing preeminence. You with me here? So her being there, validating these men are from God, telling you the way to be saved. She's trying to say, I'm their equal. Don't diminish me. Do you understand? But Paul tolerated it long enough, I believe, for her to be around the environment of the word of the Lord. So when he finally just got so sick of it and fed up with it, he just went, I command you in the name of Jesus. And I'm just praying. I want you to understand that an active prayer life, let me just say it to you, actually gives you spiritual authority. It actually does that. Come on, somebody say amen. Where were they going? They're on their way to pray. Here's the second thought. An active prayer life builds spiritual discernment. In other words, you're able to see what's really going on. So as you are determining and discerning what's really going on, then your authority can then deal with what it is that you're dealing with. Amen. I had a guy come up to me. He says, I'm a warlock. I'm in some sort of coven of some sort of, you know, occult thing and satanic practices. And he says, I'm going to curse you tonight. You will die in your sleep. You'll have a heart attack. Your wife will wake up with you in the bed dead next to her. And I said, and he looked like a warlock, trust me. And I went, you know, get in line. And so you got no idea how many people have threatened to kill me over my years. It's water off a duck's back, I got to tell you. And I told some of my friends, I said, this guy over here just told me he's going to curse me. He's going to go get a chicken. He's going to cut the chicken's head off. They're going to sacrifice it. And I said, and I'm going to die in my sleep tonight. All my Christian friends were going, well, Steve, we need to spend the whole night praying against that. We need to stay up and pray to counter that. And I said, I'm not losing a night's sleep. I'm going to bed and I will wake up in the morning. And for the record, if you haven't noticed, I did wake up. Because I've read my Bible. The curse causes shall not come. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I know my authority. They can go to Chick-fil-A, get all the chicken they want to get. They can do the hooky-pooky, the hokey-pokey, and they can do whatever they want to do. But I know that my God is alive and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen. An active prayer life will give you spiritual authority, but it also gives you discernment. Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Who was over the other side of the lake? A demoniac. Okay. So they got in the boat and set out and they sailed and he fell asleep. A storm came on the lake and the boat was being swamped. They were in danger. The disciples said, Master, we're going to drown. And he rebuked the wind. You don't want me praying for you if you just woke me up. Jesus is asleep on the boat. He gets up and he's dealing with a demonic storm. He was going to the other side of the lake because Legion was there and Legion knew he was coming. And the devil whipped up a storm, and sometimes we're rebuking natural events, but we don't understand that what's on the back of that thing is demonic, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we're fighting our spouse, and we think it's our spouse is the problem, but it's the enemy trying to stir up divisiveness, and you can't see it for what it really is, and we need discernment, because the word rebuke here literally means he censored the storm. He assessed the nature of the storm and he passed judgment on the storm. It wasn't just a weather event. It was a demonic, satanic activity that whipped up the storm. And sometimes you and I are going to have storms in our life that are just nothing but the enemy resisting you and trying to stop you from going where God's called you to go. And you can deal with it in the natural all you want, but you've got to have discernment. What's on the back of this storm and how do I deal with it with my spiritual authority? I think that's worth giving the Lord a hand for. Number three, an active prayer life builds godly confidence. Look at this verse. I love this verse. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. And whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. This is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything in accordance to the knowledge of his will, he will hear us. I've heard people pray the most ridiculous prayers. Lord, if it's your will for this person to be healed, what a waste of a prayer. Find out what the will of God is. Read your Bible, and then you know it is the will of God for someone to be healed. You don't have to pray, Lord, if it's your will. Lord, I thank you that you said that I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. I thank you, Lord, that you are my healer. And I thank you, Lord, for healing in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. This is the Lord, if it's your will, could I please get that job? Lord, if it's your will, could I please get a promotion? It is the will of God for you to be blessed. You know it's in the Word of God. And an active prayer life builds confidence. Amen. I know what, I don't need to pray about some things. It's in the Word already. Oh, I thought that was a good point. An active prayer life builds strength. You don't hear this Bible verse quoted very often, but let me read it to you. Daniel 11, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. That's a whole nother subject. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Here's the thought. They who have an active prayer life, it actually builds strength. They that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. If you know God, you are strong and you're doing great exploits. If you're not strong and there's no great exploits, how well do you know God? Amen. An active prayer life means you're talking to God. You're in a relationship with God. And they that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. In other words, over the course of your life, if you've been a Christian for decades, you ought to be able to point back to different benchmarks in your life of great exploits because you've seen God do great things in your life. Amen? So an active prayer life builds strength. They that know their God shall be strong. An active prayer life, watch this, keeps you sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. An active prayer life will do that for you. It keeps you sensitive, tuned in. Our lives are so filled with noise, we drown out the very voice we want to hear. I've often asked myself, if God stopped speaking, how long would it take me to notice? If God just suddenly went, I'm not talking to Steve Kelly anymore, how long would it take me to notice? Would it be a day? Would it be a week? Would it be a month? Or would I just keep living my life and nothing's changed? It's very quiet. An active prayer life keeps us sensitive to the voice of God. Look at this. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. And then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. How many would love that encounter right there? The Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Earth, wind, and fire. For all the oldies in the building. All the young people have no idea what I just said. But it wasn't for you. It was those who were more mature. Praise the Lord. And after the fire, watch this, a still small voice. And so it was, Elijah heard it. And he wrapped up his face in his mantle and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Can I just tell you sometimes? Listen to me. An active prayer life will actually keep you sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're waiting for God to appear out of the clouds. We're waiting for sky riding. We're ready for an angelic visitation. We want these big events. We want these big moments. Are you hearing me? But actually, the Bible says it is the still small voice of God. And I've learned to listen to that still small voice. And I've discovered that, you know, God is not in the fire. God is not in the earthquake. God is not in the wind. But God often is a still small voice. And the Bible says, be still and know that He is God. If you do not know stillness, you cannot know God. There must be times in your life where you just know the still small voice of God. Are you hearing me? And what that active prayer life does, it gets you sensitive and dialed in and tuned in and dependent. Are you hearing me? And you actually are learning how to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number six, an active prayer life isn't repetitious. Now, I know we at Wave Church and those churches like ours, we pride in ourselves and not having all this repetitious rhetoric and not all this reoccurring traditions, you know, stand, sit, kneel, bell, drop, bell, smells. You have been here. I know we pride ourselves. No, we're free. But we can be just bound up in our Pentecostal traditions as any other person. And listen to what Jesus said. Here, watch this. It says in Matthew 6, verse 7, "And when you pray, do not use vain, repetitious prayers as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard through their many words." Somehow we equate many words to actually the more words we pray, the more likely we are to be praying. But the Bible, Jesus actually told. Now, by the way, I was brought up in the Catholic Church. Anybody brought up in the Catholic Church? Let me see your hands. Come on, kumbaya for all the Catholics. The Lord be with you. See, once a Catholic, always a Catholic. And I remember having to go to the priest and, you know, have your confession and, you know, just forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been so long since my last confession. It's all coming back to me. I'm having a flashback. The priest would say, you know, what have you done? And half the stuff I just made up, God didn't even know what a sin was, which that in itself was a sin. And at the end of it, he'd say, okay, say three Hail Marys and one Our Father. Okay, anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I've since learned I don't need to go to a priest. I can go straight to God for forgiveness of sins. Jesus is our mediator. And I'm not bagging the Catholic Church. There's a lot of good Christians in the Catholic Church. And there's probably as many that aren't. Just like maybe there could be right here at Wave. But I remember thinking, okay, we used to have the rosary beads, Stations of the Cross. Who used to have that? So it would be like, you know, you have the rosary bead. It's like, how many times can you rip around the rosary beads? And it was like, we thought by doing that, you know, we were getting closer to God, that we were, that's pray. But Jesus said, don't pray vain, repetitious prayers. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not a vain prayer. Jesus taught us that as a model of prayer. Are you hearing me? But here, prayer ought to be authentic. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is just having a conversation with your Heavenly Father. And somehow we think that by having, you know, oh Lord, I beseech thee this day. And somehow when we pray, we're supposed to go into King James vernacular. Oh most Heavenly Father, who sitteth upon the throne of thy kingdom, for yours is the power and the glory. Well, the Bible says we're the sons of God. So I'm trying to just put this in a natural process. If Jesus said, if you who are evil know how to give gifts, good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who ask? I've never once, it'd be a miracle of heaven if Josh Kelly ever walked into my house and said, oh, most Heavenly Father, who sitteth upon the throne of thine house, would it be something of a possibility ability that I could somehow find it within your good nature that you would provide me with ice cream. I'm telling you, he just walks in and takes it. He knows dad is good. That's what prayer is. It's talking to God. That's what it is. We pray, oh God. God's going, who's that? All right, let's keep moving. An active prayer life, number 7, builds faith. Amen. It actually builds faith. An active prayer life, you, oh, church, you have no idea the things I'm pregnant with right now. I am believing God for so many things right now. I tell you, my mind's ticking over. Whew. That youth center is going to be built. 20 Wave campuses. It's going to happen. Come on, somebody. An active prayer life builds faith, and it strengthens and it builds confidence. And listen to this. Number 8, an active prayer life is grounded in God's word. Are you hearing me? It's actually grounded in the word of God. It's not some kooky, spooky, you know, thing. It's grounded in the word of God. I remember just as a young man when I first got saved, you know, I just wanted to, you know, to I decided that I would give a year or two. I can't remember, every month for one Friday night, I would pray from 11 o'clock in the night till 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'd go to the church's chapel and I would just pray. And I remember, man, 11 p.m., here it goes, go. And I'd start praying, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm binding, and I'm loosing, and I'm declaring, and I'm praying for all the things I could possibly ever think of and imagine. I started praying, God, give me wisdom to be a great husband. God, give me wisdom to be a great father. I thank you, Lord, one day I will pastor a church in the United States by the East Coast. It will be on water. I thank you, Lord, out of that will be a beachhead that will touch the nation of America. All those prayers I prayed 35 years ago. And I remember I prayed through everything and anyone. I prayed for every missionary that we ever knew that was around the world. And I thought, dear God, it feels like it must be 4 or 5 in the morning already. I looked at my watch. It was 11:30. I went, I'm in trouble. I'll never pray till 6 in the morning after I prayed every prayer I can pray. And it's been 30 minutes. So then I learned something. I got open my Bible and I opened it to Exodus with the children of Israel moving out of Egypt and going into the promised land. And I started reading my Bible. You see, you pray the word. You hearing me? You pray the word. I started reading my Bible and I started going, and then God said, come on, go to Pharaoh. Tell my people, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And you know the whole story if you read your Bible. Finally, Pharaoh did under great rough sufferance and reluctance. And here comes Moses and all the children of Israel. They get to the Red Sea. And I'm right there at that story in the chapel. It was my first time ever praying from 11 p.m. till 6 a.m. It's 11:30. I'm in trouble. So I start reading it, and all of a sudden I'm reading it out loud. And I'm going, look, Moses at the Red Sea, and he's in an impossible situation because he can't go forwards, but here comes Pharaoh and all the Egyptians walking like an Egyptian, and he's in trouble. And so, and God says, Moses, move on. And then he throws down his staff and the Red Sea opened. And I'm reading this out loud in my prayer time. When I started declaring to myself, Steve Kelly, do you realize what God did for Moses and for 3 million Israelites, he can do for you? That when you come up against a situation where it seems there's no way forward and it looks like your enemy's about to chase you down, that God will open a way where there is no way. And I started declaring and I started reading the word of God. And then the Bible says they walk through the Red Sea and then Pharaoh and all the Egyptians are chasing after him and the water closed in. God will drown your enemies as long as you keep on moving forwards. Steve Kelly, you've got a great future. Don't worry about what's in front of you that seems impossible. Steve, you need to know this is what the Bible says is for you. It's not just a story in the Bible. And I started picturing it, and I'm reading this song that's in the Exodus. It says, I will sing unto the Lord. for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider is thrown into the sea. And sometimes I can see my enemy, he's behind me, and all it does is make me break out in song. Even if there's a Red Sea in front of me and there doesn't seem to be a way forwards, I remind myself of that prayer time in that chapel. At that time, I will sing unto the Lord. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider will be thrown into the sea. See, I guess what I'm trying to say is an active prayer life is grounded in God's word. Amen. Number 9. An active prayer life is being filled with the Spirit. An active prayer life is being filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Church, look at me. This is Wave Church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We don't do it in some kooky, spooky way. Are you hearing me? God can do whatever he wants to do. If it's laughter, laugh. But we're not going to manufacture it. If it's people falling under the power of God, then let them fall under the power of God. But we're not going to force it. And it's supernatural. So we're going to do it in a way that's supernatural. It's not like, don't touch me, honey, we'll both go down. For those who know who I'm referring to, who happens to be, in my opinion, a man of God that God used greatly. And my friend's daughter got healed of a broken neck under that man's ministry. But we don't have to do the hooky pooky. So, Lord, I just thank you for a hearing and for a miracle. Right now, I'm speaking to you. God's doing a miracle in your heart today. He's softening your heart again. The heart of stone becoming a heart of flesh. I'm speaking, prophesying in Jesus' name. It's tender. It's beautiful. God loves you. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. He delights in you. When you wake up, God smiles. Amen. We don't have to do it in some hole. Just declaring supernatural. Come on, somebody. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are missing out. An active prayer life means you're filled with the Spirit and you're filled again and you're filled again and you're filled again. Why again? Because we leak. It's very quiet in here. I'll just keep going. Number 10, an active prayer life keeps you humble and it creates a God dependency. An active prayer life, because you keep praying, you realize, okay, God, without you, I'm nothing. I've never once grabbed this microphone. This is what God's called me to do. But I've never once grabbed this microphone and just walked up here going, I got it. I've never once walked up like that. Every single Sunday, I'm down at Hot Tuna last night just putting the finishing touches on my message. I'm going, God, if you don't come through, this is just words. God, I need you. Please, God, help me. People say, Steve, you could preach on bananas and people will give their life to Jesus. Well, that's nice of you to think that, but I can never afford to believe that. God, without you, it's all for nothing. And it creates a God dependency. And it keeps you humble because it's not like the false humble. You know, to me, false humility is as repulsive as arrogance. You know, false humility? You know, like, hey, just say, hey, listen, today when you sung, you really blessed me. It really touched me. But go, just give God all the glory. Oh, shut up. I don't think you're God for a minute. I was just trying to say, thank you for being available to allow God to use you the way he did. It really touched my heart. I'm not giving you any glory. I'm trying to say I appreciate what you did. False humility, worms. You know those worm Christians? It's all God. It's not all God. God needs us. Come on, somebody say amen. We got to yield ourselves. We got to make ourselves available. We got to be willing to allow God to use us. And then people leave the church because the church used them, but you pray, God, use me. God just answered your prayer. I've never been more dependent on God. Never been more dependent. In a moment, I'm going to give people an opportunity to give their life to Jesus. I know I'm not standing here in some sort of sense of self-confidence. But I am standing here in a God confidence. And I know people are going to give their life to Jesus. Some people are going to meet God. Who can say amen to that? An active prayer life takes ground from the enemy. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, no one can enter a strong man's house. Strong man's house. Come up here, Jordan. No one, come up here for a minute. How many would agree that Jordan is a strong man? No one can enter a strong man's house. This guy is built. Let me tell you, if he is on a football field and I'm the only person between him and the goal, and I'm the defense and he's got the ball, I'm saying, there's the line over there, buddy. Just don't hurt me. Okay, now watch this. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he's Jesus. He's trying to teach you how to break and enter. Jesus is trying to teach us how to break and enter. Not people's houses. The enemy. No man enters a strong man's house, watch this, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. I can't enter the enemy's territory, the strong man, without first binding him. If he's loose, you're hearing me, he will do everything he can to resist me. But if I know my spiritual authority, and I know that God has called me and God's anointed me, he's not going to let me in without first dealing with him. But if I deal with him and I tie him up, devil, I bind you. I declare you have no power over my life, over my mind, over my health, over my finances, over my family. I declare that you were defeated by the blood of Jesus from 2,000 years ago, and I'm binding you. Now I'm coming in. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how strong you are. I will talk smack to you and I will deal with you because I've got a godly confidence that I can defeat the enemy because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Come on, somebody. Here's the thought. An active prayer life takes ground from the enemy. You're not on the back foot. You're not on the defensive. You're on the front foot. You're on the offensive in Jesus' name. Come on. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jordan, for that illustration. Number 12, an active prayer life builds perseverance. An active prayer life builds perseverance. Look at this Bible verse. Watch this. This is one of my favorites. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask, seek. You hearing it? Ask, knock, seek. For everyone who asks, receives. That's why some of you got to get your ask on. You got to get your ask on. When was the last time you ever asked God for anything? Got to ask. Anyone who asks, what? Receives. Anyone who seeks, finds. Anyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Do you know what that's telling me? That's telling me we give up too quick in prayer. But an active prayer life builds perseverance. Lord, I'm going to knock on your door, ring on your bell, tap on your window too. It's the Avon Lady, the song from the Avon Lady. I'm going to knock on your door, ring on your bell, tap on your window too. I'm going to knock and ring and tap and knock and ring and tap and knock and ring and tap until you do. That Avon Lady sang, I will not give up. I've got something you need and I'm here to give it to you. But the Bible tells us you got to be like the Avon Lady. Ask, knock, seek. Don't give up. Couldn't have been God's will. We prayed and God never answered. You are looking at someone right now that is asking and knocking and seeking for Lauren Riddle, for that tumor, for Chase Llewellyn, for his tumor, for Josh Kelly with these migraines. I'm telling you, I'm not giving up. I'm not backing down. I'm not on the back foot. I'm on the front foot. I'm binding the enemy. I got a godly confidence. Come on, an active prayer life builds perseverance. I'm asking God. We just go, couldn't have been God's will. Oh, it was God's will, but he's teaching us. Come on, get confident. Come on, get tenacious. Come on, get heaven suffers violence. Oh man, you're going through something in your marriage and you feel like giving up. No, no, no. You get on the front foot. Come on. you persevere. You can sit down for a minute. Sharon and I had Jax for 10 days because Jared and Alyssa went away. They left their son with us. We took him to Texas to meet his cousin Thunder, having his first birthday party for 3 days. And then they went off to Jamaica on a vacation. And we had Jackson Lennon for 7 days. It was the best 10 days of my life, having all my grandchildren with me at the time. And then I remember when we gave Jax back. Now, listen, we love Jax. I mean, no, we love our grandkids. Oh, dear God, do we love them. And there's nothing I wouldn't give them. There's nothing I wouldn't buy them. But, you know, you have someone for 10 days. There's going to come at some point in time you're going to have to correct them. Now, when my grandkids come to my house, this is welcome to the house of yes. Are you hearing me? And I have the right to spoil them as much as I want to, because I can give them back and let the parents fix them. We had him for 10 days. 10 days. It took them a month to get Jax back under control again. A month. Jax, he's a good little kid. That kid became a little bugger. He was a little, oh my gosh, he was obnoxious. And I thought, well, that's a child who was, you know, in with us for 10 days. We wouldn't, you understand what I'm saying? Like, we were good and kind. How much more when a family separates, does that affect a child and their behavior? When there's a broken marriage because we didn't persevere. The effect it has. No wonder the Bible says God hates divorce. He doesn't hate people who are divorced. He just hates what it puts you through. We got to learn to persevere. And I had a whole nother thought I wanted to do, but I just feel the Holy Spirit's on this. Just persevere. Persevere in that business. Persevere with your health. Persevere with your finances. Don't lay down. Don't give up. Don't get defeated. Don't get all under the circumstances. Come on. My thought was simply this as I wrap it up. Everybody's got to have a place they go to where you find God. For me, you know what it used to be? It used to be in my bedroom when I was just a brand new Christian. But that soon got old because my brothers who were not Christians used to love walking in and doing all sorts of things to try and make that a very embarrassing moment. So I wasn't going to give them that opportunity. I went somewhere else. I went to the Nepean River. I can show you to this day. I take my kids back to Australia. And I say, you have no idea. See that river there? I have walked up and down that river and I have spent thousands of hours praying, seeking God there. I'll take him up to the Blue Mountains and I say, in these mountains, I can take you still to this day, the trails that I walked in the mountains to seek God and to find God. And then we moved into the Hills District, part of the Hills Church. And I remember there was what now is a motorway or an interstate used to be just open fields. And I said, kids, you have no idea how many thousands of hours your father has spent just walking with God and praying and asking God. And I'm living in the prayers I prayed 30 years ago. What if I'm not praying any prayers now? What does my future look like? Where's your place? For me, it was a chapel. It was a river. It was the mountains. For me, it's the beach. For me, sometimes it's just a chair. But it's got to be someplace that you go past often enough that you can hear the still small voice call you. This is what it sounds like to me. I know it sounds a little, really? This is what it is for me. Psst. Man of God, can we spend some time? But it's got to be somewhere that I walk past often enough that it can call me. I mean, if your place is to go up into West Virginia, into the mountains, you're not going there often enough. That's good. Go to West Virginia in the mountains, not on a Sunday. You think I'm joking. Unless you're on vacation, then have a vacation. It's got to be somewhere that just calls you and you can just spend time with God. It's like, for me, I know that voice. Steve, Come. Spend time with me. My grandchildren. There's nothing more wonderful when they get on my chest and I hold them when they're real little. And they fall asleep. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you don't move, do you? You don't move. You don't want to do anything to wake them up, to disturb them, because this moment is so pure, so precious, so tender, so delightful, so pleasurable, that your little grandchild or your child is asleep on your chest. And I've sat there, needed to pee, and I hang on to my pee because I don't want to get up. I'm trying to help you understand just to what extent I'm talking this is. And then sometimes I have a chair that I meet with God in. Sometimes I'll just sit in my chair and I'll just start praying. Father, I love you. I'm asking you, God, keep me. Help me. Hold me. Lead me. I'm doing it right now. I'm praying. Father, help me be a great pastor. Help me be a good leader. Help me be kind. And I'll fall asleep. And then I wake up and I go, oh God, I'm so sorry. I fell asleep. I was supposed to be praying and I fell asleep. And the Lord reminded me, Steve, you know when your grandchildren fall asleep in your arms? When you get in your chair, it's like you just climbed up on my lap. And there's nothing more wonderful to me is when you fall asleep in my arms. I'm praying today that this message will drive you to a place that you might identify a place. You might go back to a place where you meet with God. Do you receive the word? How many honestly will say today? How many can honestly say you could improve your prayer life? Let me just see. How many could say you could actually step it up? Let me just see your hands. All right, well, let's do it. I did not come to preach a sermon. I'm not here today as your pastor, prayer and fasting. It's one of the things we're supposed to teach. I'm praying, God, let this be more than just a message, but let this drive people to a place of prayer. Because in it, you'll have confidence, you'll have strength, you'll have breakthrough, you'll have perseverance. You'll know the voice of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we'll talk about fasting. Oh, you don't want to miss next week. If you like food, don't come next week. But if you like breakthrough and supernatural victories, you'd be here next week. Amen. Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Do you know what it is to truly be forgiven of your sins? Have you ever had a life-changing, look at me, a life-changing encounter with Jesus? Not you believe in God. I mean, yeah, great, you believe in God. So does the devil. God made the devil. The devil believes God's real. Have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus? I know there are people who were in church that are no longer in church. I get it a lot. Oh yeah, I used to go to Wave. What happened? Oh, I just work 6 days a week. What happened? Oh, you know, I just went there with my friends. Oh, my friends moved away. I'm praying you would really meet Jesus. Jesus, who loves his church and loves you. And I'm asking you today, look at me. I know it's a scary thought. Would you come back to him? People online, the 90,000 people, up to 90,000 people a week watch this TV broadcast just in Hampton Roads. Could you find it a way to get out of your house and come into God's house? I'd love to pray for you this morning. If you say, Steve, I don't know him as you speak of. Steve, I once did, but I'm away from God. I'm going to just pray. Who's going to believe with me? People are going to give their life to Jesus. Church, there's no greater prayer. There's nothing means more to me. Nothing means more to me than seeing people find Jesus. It's why I was born. It's why God put me on this planet. It's It's why we have what we call Wave Church. It's why you put up with some of the crap you put up with as a pastor. Can I say crap? I just did. Because I was born to see people come to know Jesus. I want to pray for you. What would it take for you to say, okay, Steve, I've messed up. I just need to come back. I need to get right with God. Would you make that decision today? I'd love to pray for you. All over this building, let's close our eyes, bow our heads. I'm going to ask you this morning, if that is you, you know who you are. And there's no guilt, there's no pressure, there's no condemnation. There's love and there's mercy. There's grace and there's forgiveness. There's acceptance. If you want to say, Steve, pray for me. I don't know him as you speak of. Steve, pray for me. I need to come back to God. I've tried it my way. Hasn't been working all that good. I want to come back to God. Lift your hand right now all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, who else would just lift your hand? I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. God bless you right there next to the TV. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Come on, God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Come on, who else? God bless you right there. Where are you this morning? My last call. God bless you. I see your hand. My last call, friend, if you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, would you lift it right now? Come on, all over the building. Amen. There's one, two hands right there. Wonderful. There's another hand right there. Church, let's give a Lord a hand for every single person. Come on. I'll never be someone who bags the church. I love the church. I'll never be someone who throws mud on the bride. You with me here? One thing I will always say is I don't understand how any church could not give people the opportunity that we just gave. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shame. If you went to Nordstrom's, not that you can anymore in this area, because it's gone, which was my favorite store in this area. Anybody else feel my pain? You would expect to get what Nordstrom sells. If you come to church, I pray you get Jesus. We're not selling him. He gave himself. And I would hate to think that if you came to church, you didn't meet Jesus. What's the point of having church if Jesus is not there for the receiving? Let's pray this prayer. Everybody who lifted your hand, let's all pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. I thank you, Jesus. I'm now a Christian. You now live in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give a lot of hands.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.